a Senate titan remembered.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Colleagues, family, and friends are remembering Edward Kennedy this morning. The Massachusetts senator died last night at the age of 77. He leaves behind a legacy that includes the battle for workers' rights and higher pay. We're joined this morning by Gary Chasen, a labor professor at Clark University in Worcester, Massachusetts. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Senator Kennedy was key in some of the most important labor reform legislation. How was he instrumental in changing the labor laws here in this country?
Well, the remarkable thing about Senator Ted Kennedy is how his mere presence in the Senate and his ability to cross over the aisle and form alliances helped pass legislation. He was a champion of minimum wage laws. He always kept the health care debate on the fire, and so it was always going. It wasn't sort of brought up suddenly.
Let's touch on the minimum wage. That was certainly one of Senator Kennedy's big issues. How did he shift the government's thinking about minimum wage?
I think his view of the minimum wage was more of a social safety net, that workers should not have to live in poverty if they were employed. He was very influential, finally, in having it changed after years of stagnating under the Reagan administration.
Gary Chasen, a labor professor at Clark University in Worcester, Massachusetts. Thank you, Professor.
You're welcome.
All right, let's check. Where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The S&P 500 down by about 0.5%. Same for the Dow, trading at 94.95. The NASDAQ down about 0.33%. European shares slightly lower right now, under 0.5%. And Asian shares closed mostly higher today. Durable goods orders rose last month, the largest jump in a couple of years. We're talking about those items that are supposed to last a while: washing machines, refrigerators, cars. Let's get analysis this morning from Richard DeKayser. He's president of Woodley Park Research, and he joins us live from Washington this morning. Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
So we started seeing car sales improve a little bit even before cash for clunkers. I mean, really, is this what the durable goods hike is all about?
I think it's part of the story. Part one is that we've begun to dig out from under this huge overhang of unsold automobiles. You know, when this year began, we had about 4.5 months of supply of autos for relative to the current sales rate. That had never happened before. So we've largely spent the first half of 2009 trying to clear out that excess. And we've done so. Here in July, or more specifically August, we've got those inventory-to-sales ratios down to 2%, which is where the industry likes them, so we're starting to see orders flow through. But it's not all autos. Capital goods. We had a big increase in capital goods, which are the sort of things that businesses will take on when they're feeling more upbeat about the future. They'll stick their toe in the water once they think we've turned the corner on this cycle, and it really reflects their sentiments about the economy's longer-term prospects, since most of these goods last for several years. So it's not all autos. That's part of the story, but we're also seeing executives get a slightly more bullish attitude about the economy's prospects.
So is this, Richard, another sign of a recovery to you?
Well, I think it is. We've had a number of indicators coming down the pike in the past week that have really surprised on the upside. And generally, those speaking to the factory sector have been part of that story. So that's part of an economic turnaround. And I think, yeah, this does help make that case.
Richard DeKayser, thanks.
My pleasure.
We do appreciate it. Loan companies that helped fuel the so-called subprime mortgage craze are in line to collect more than $21 billion in taxpayer money. That's according to a report today from the Center for Public Integrity. From Washington, Marketplace's Steve Henn has more.
The Home Affordable Modification Program sets aside $50 billion for borrowers and banks with the hopes of preventing up to 4 million foreclosures. The idea is to pay mortgage servicers incentives to modify troubled loans. So far, the results have been mixed. Treasury officials say a little over 250,000 loans have been changed, but the firms cashing in include a subprime subsidiary of AIG and two companies that were accused by federal regulators of using illegal collection practices. Bill Buesenberg runs the Center for Public Integrity.
Most of this money goes, in fact, to the same companies that created the subprime lending mess in the first place.
Countrywide, which was the nation's largest subprime lender, stands to earn more than $5 billion. J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, American Home Mortgage, and Citibank all could rake in more than $1 billion apiece. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn. for Marketplace.
A couple of big beer companies are raising their prices. Anheuser-Busch and MillerCoors won't say by how much, but analysts attribute the hike in part to a rise in commodities prices.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The French President Nicolas Sarkozy is cracking down on banker bonuses. Now he's urging the United States and other major nations to do the same. From the European desk in London, Stephen Beard reports.
President Sarkozy loves to blaze a trail, and he believes he's doing that with his new curb on bonuses. French banks have agreed to defer the bulk of bonus payments for 3 years. Traders who lose money for their banks in the meantime will be stripped of their rewards. Sarkozy says this could become the global model. He'll call on the US and other countries to follow suit at the G20 summit in Pittsburgh next month. Edward Harris is with financial website Breaking Views. He doesn't believe the Sarkozy plan will be widely adopted. He says the campaign against bankers' bonuses is running out of steam.
The banks say that they need to pay high bonuses to keep the system running, then the politicians are inclined at this point to believe them.
Nevertheless, analysts say Sarkozy's plan may strengthen President Obama's resolve if he decides to curb executive pay at companies propped up by U.S. taxpayers. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Finally, when I think of rock bands in hotel rooms, it's usually not a pretty picture. For Motel 6, it's an opportunity to reach out to the youngsters. USA Today reports the chain will begin offering free rooms to a select group of touring bands. They say the move could put the hotel in the social networking circles and help to reverse lower occupancy rates. Bands could say give a shout out, on stage even, and hopefully not throw any lamps or nightstands around when they're back in the hotel room. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.